What comes to mind when you hear the word Christian? How would you define or describe a Christian? Write it down on a slip of paper or as a YouTube comment, and then compare your answers after this presentation. Do you think that answers would be different if you were younger or older? Do you find a different meaning today versus days of old? What makes someone a Christian? Do you know a real Christian? Do you know someone who is not a Christian? Welcome to Truth of the Spirit and Stepping Stones to the Fullness of Christ. I'm Patty Bruner. This is the first of a series, an opportunity to discover the truth as we journey towards Christ. This week's topic, What is a Christian?, also gives us the question, Am I a follower of Christ? How do I fit the definition of Christian? What can I change to be more Christian? Let's start with a prayer. We thank our Heavenly Father for gathering us together for a little while. We ask Him to help us to put aside the world for a bit and to open ourselves to His wisdom and grace. Where two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, He is in their midst. And so we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you bless us as we take this journey with you. Show us the stepping stones to use to follow the way. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us. Amen. Back to our questions. I imagine that each of you listening have answers that are a little or a lot different. You know, it's easy to find out how the church defines or describes a Christian by checking a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Do you have a copy in your home or a favorite website with the Catechism? We're going to look up some of the paragraphs that will help us to understand what the church teaches a Christian is. Let's look at paragraphs 1694, 1692, and 1695. In the official book, the paragraph numbers are given in bold print at the indentation for the paragraph. You'll find these three paragraphs in about the middle of the book. Then we'll go on to paragraph 2044. But let's focus on the key thoughts in these four paragraphs. The key point of Catechism paragraph number 1694 is that our goal is to attain the mind of Christ. The Catechism makes this point using Scripture. It starts by saying, incorporated in Christ by baptism, Christians are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, and so participate in the life of the risen Lord. Did you happen to write down that answer? Christians are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The Catechism finds this in Paul's letters to the Romans and the Colossians. It then continues with an idea from the Gospel of John and Paul's letters to the Ephesians and Philippians that tell us how to be a follower of Christ, also known as being a Christian. Following Christ and united with Him, Christians can strive to be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love by conforming their thoughts, words, and actions to the mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus, and by following His example. Moving on to Catechism paragraph 1692, the key point is the fundamentals of being a Christian. The symbol of faith confesses the greatness of God's gifts to man in his work of creation, and even more in redemption and sanctification. What faith confesses, the sacraments communicate. By the sacraments of rebirth, Christians have become children of God, partakers of the divine nature. Becoming children of God is an idea from John's gospel and his letter. Being partakers of the divine nature is taken from the second letter of Peter. The effect is then expanded upon in paragraph 1692, as it says, coming to see in the faith their new dignity, Christians are called to lead henceforth a life worth of the gospel of Christ. They are made capable of doing so by the grace of Christ and gifts of His Spirit, which they receive through the sacraments and through prayer. Our commission to imitate Christ is the key point of Catechism paragraph 1695. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God, sanctified and called to be saints, Christians have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. These ideas came from 1 Corinthians. The paragraph then looks at Galatians and Ephesians as it says, this Spirit of the Son teaches them to pray to the Father, and having become their life, prompts them to act so as to bear the fruit of the Spirit by charity and action. Healing the wounds of sin, the Holy Spirit renews us interiorly through a spiritual transformation. He enlightens and strengthens us to live as children of light through all that is good and right and true. So, what do we have so far? The goal of a Christian is to have the mind of Christ. The fundamentals of being a Christian is being sanctified, a child of God. And our commission is to imitate Christ, which is possible by grace from the Holy Spirit. Catechism paragraph 2044 points out what comes next in being a faithful Christian, ending with a quote from Pope Paul VI on the apostolate of the laity. It says, the fidelity of the baptized is a primordial condition for the proclamation of the gospel and for the church's mission in the world. In order that the message of salvation can show the power of truth and radiance before men, it must be authenticated by the witness of the life of Christians. The quote from Pope Paul VI says, the witness of a Christian life and good works done in a supernatural spirit have great power to draw men to the faith and to God. Now, let's take the Bible and see how Sacred Scripture guides us in the question, what is a Christian? Am I a follower of Christ? There's so many important scriptures. Which one should we check out? We'll start by limiting and only looking at the New Testament and focus on the key points we've discovered. We'll explore a few quotes from the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the other quotes we'll explore will come from the letters written to the early church by St. Peter and St. Paul. First, let's look for the mind of Christ. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, tells us that Jesus had compassion for the people and healed them all. When he embarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 asks us, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Paul in Philippians chapter 1 exhorts the church, "Only conduct yourself in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear news of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, struggling together for the faith of the gospel." He continues in Philippians chapter 2, "Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus." Let me repeat that. Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also yours in Christ Jesus. Do you have the attitude of the mind of Christ? Our second key point was that Christians have become children of God. The first chapter of the Gospel of John says, "But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God." Paul makes it clear in Galatians chapter 4, "As proof that you are children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" Paul talks about the benefit in Ephesians chapter 5. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth." In 2 Peter chapter 1, we find more benefits. "Through these, he has bestowed on us the precious and very great promises, so that through them you may come to share in the divine nature, after escaping from the corruption that is this world because of evil desire." How many of the people among us need to escape the corruption that is of the world? In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him." Our third point was imitating Christ. To imitate Christ, you have to know what he did. Matthew chapter 9 says that Jesus taught. Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23 tells us Jesus forgave. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 tells us Jesus prayed. "And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed." John chapter 11, verse 5 tells us Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Luke chapter 22, verses 41 and 42 tell us Jesus obeyed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done." In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul wraps it up for us and says, "So, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma." In the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7, to imitate Christ, we get instructions for action from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. To respond to what the Holy Spirit has led the church to teach us, let's stop and think about what we've talked about on this episode of Stepping Stones. What comes to mind when you hear the word Christian? How would you define or describe a Christian? Are your answers different from the first time I asked these questions? Are you a follower of Christ? How do we fit the definition? What can you change to be more Christian? So the goal of a Christian is to have the mind of Christ. The fundamentals of being a Christian is being a sanctified child of God. And our commission is to imitate Christ, which is possible by grace from the Holy Spirit. We will close with a petition to be Christians and say a prayer of dedication. Please join me. Lord, we have been called to make a decision to be Christians. This week, we reach out to you. Change us to be more like you. Show us this week that you are real and care about us so that we may soon be able to hand our lives over to you. I promise, with God's help, to be a faithful servant of the Lord, patterning my life in accordance with the teachings of Christ. I promise to faithfully read and study the Holy Scriptures and to regularly participate in the Holy Eucharist. I promise to work and pray and give for the spread of God's kingdom and to be a loyal and faithful member of his body, the church. And I ask for and accept the grace needed to fulfill these promises. I accept God the Father as my Father. I accept God the Son as my Savior. I accept God the Holy Spirit as my strength. I accept the Word of God as my guide. I accept the will of God as my will. I accept the people of God as my people. I commit myself, body, soul, and spirit, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do this freely, fully, and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Truth of the Spirit and What is a Christian? Of the series Stepping Stones to the Fullness of Christ with the host and author, Patty Bruner. This series was first taught to parents of sacramental prep students at St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Church. The title was inspired by a vision the Lord gave me one time. I was in a lush valley, standing beside the rushing water of a creek. I needed to get to the other side to continue my journey. Jesus appeared and took my hand and showed me which rocks to use as stepping stones. I now share the stepping stones with you. Please subscribe with notification and watch the rest of this weekly series. Then come back next week for more with the Holy Spirit. There's always more. Amen.
This is the Padua Podcast Network. PaduaPodcastNetwork.com.